I am so excited for this interview. I say I'm excited for every interview every single week, but this interview is near to my heart, and you'll figure out why it is. It's because we're going to be talking to one of my employees, Gabby, and she is amazing in her own right. She does such an amazing job with everything she does. She is very, very special, which is why I hired her. And she proves it every single day. And I'm so excited to kind of dig into Gabby and her background and what she thinks about Meld, and a few other tidbits that she'll even give you a little glimpse into the behind the scenes of what it's like to kind of work in a Meld and to kind of deal with my craziness. So I'm excited to talk to her. But, before we do that, Michael Logan, this is the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to the Common Sense Show. If you've just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Michael Logan has a stellar track record coaching small businesses to achieve six-figure revenue streams. The advice on this show is what has allowed him to have over 15 years of experience as an entrepreneur. Here is your host, Michael Logan.
Welcome to Common Sense Conversations. And on Common Sense Conversations, we talk to individuals with expertise about small business ownership, entrepreneurism, and how to build your business past that initial $200,000 in revenue. But today we're going to talk to Gabby DeAugustino. She is one of my favorite people in the world. She also just so happens to be one of my employees at the Meld here in Boston. She is a stunning trainer and has the attitude of, I don't know, what, a monk, would you say? Like, she is one of the most awesome people I've met, which is why she actually is at the studio. Gabby, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Micah. That's a nice introduction.
You ready to spill some tea?
Yep. We've been holding on to it all this time, so we gotta let it out.
I heard this word tea from like the Real Housewives of Atlanta, because I secretly and shamefully watched that show.
Can't blame you.
Yeah, basically. I'd only admit that to you and maybe the people listening to this podcast worldwide. Yeah. But anyways, Gabby, why don't we first talk a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about your background, you know, where you got certified, what led you into the training industry, and what led you to become you.
For sure. So I started out my kind of whole path of fitness in college. So I initially went to University of Rhode Island with the idea of becoming a physical therapist. So I studied kinesiology, and basically like within the first year, I just had no interest in the physical therapy side of things. So kind of moved on to fitness and exercise and just like studying more movement and everything. So I was able to work at a couple local gyms in Rhode Island. And then I was also able to do a study abroad in Australia with a strength and conditioning gym. So that's where I kind of like solidified the interest in going into the fitness industry and doing some type of, you know, strength and conditioning training. So I finished my degree at URI, got the degree in kinesiology, and then I got my exercise physiologist certification from ACSM. So just a fancy way to say that I'm a personal trainer.
Nice. Yeah. And so what made you attracted to post rehab essentially versus going into the rehab route? Because a lot of exercise science, kinesiology, exercise phys students and graduates, a lot of times they opt for some kind of therapy route. What made you choose the post therapy route?
I was kind of just interested in more of like the high energy pace. So working with people who are kind of like at their like healthy and in their, you know, physical condition, like a good starting point, but had goals that they're trying to pursue and kind of like take their fitness level and their health to the next level. So I kind of like that idea of having that starting foundation, that solid base, and then just kind of sky's the limit from there, going wherever they wanted to go with it.
Yeah. And so just the opportunity to kind of help individuals like have a market change. And now you could do that theoretically with therapy, right? So like if someone's coming to you post-surgery and it's easy to go from zero range of motion to, you know, 90 degrees. What was more exciting about seeing the progress on the back end of a person's fitness journey more so than like getting like just joint range of motion back?
Yeah, I think the everything that is done in like rehab is super important, and obviously like grateful for people that do that. But for me, it was just more like I feel more like I'm better able to help people, and it's more of a kind of a satisfying feeling for both them and me when I can kind of point out the big landmarks that people are going through. So it's huge when someone's going through rehab and they're able to, you know, do something they weren't able to do before, like they had an injury and they were limited to some extent. It's great when they can get back to that baseline. But for me, I feel like it's really rewarding when I can point out to someone that doesn't realize it, like, hey, you know, a couple weeks ago, you could only shoulder press the bar, and now we got, you know, tens on each side. Like, you're getting so much stronger. So I think for me, it's the kind of like strengthening someone who's already in a good place, but just taking it to that next level of, you know, showing them what they're capable of and how much further they can even go from there.
Yeah. And so you've worked in, at this point, a few different settings in the fitness industry. And what are some of your favorite settings to work in? So for people listening, maybe we can explain the different types of settings that a trainer could work in, and then maybe you can bring us through your history.
Yeah, so anything for me from one-on-one personal training to boot camps of like 15 to 20 people, anything in between, like small group classes, CrossFit classes, anything in that kind of realm, I've done it all. So the kind of the differences there, weren't, wait, what was the what was the initial question?
Oh brother, it was
sorry,
it was what types of, if you could explain the different types of settings a trainer could work in.
Okay,
and then explain the difference between what you're doing now.
Yeah. So in that sense, like all of those different settings, bringing it back to what we're doing at Meld, it's more, you know, it can be anywhere from one-on-one to like three-on-one. So having the experience of like being in a big group class, there's like pros and cons to both. So when you're in a big class, it's awesome. The energy is great. Kind of like bump the music. People are having a good time, but it's harder to get to everyone and to have that, you know, personal relationship with every single person in the class. Versus like now being at Meld and doing the smaller group training, or what we call kind of like small group personal training. It's, you know, it's just super personal. Like every client that I see every day, I have a personal relationship with them. And we kind of have built that from having that one-on-one time together. We still get the energy in the studio, and we still can have that like group feeling when there's more people in there. But it's also like, I'm able to pay such closer attention, super detailed, super just, you know, nitpicky almost to a sense. I feel like that's what my people would say about me, is that I'll, you know, the slightest change just makes an exercise better. Yeah. So it's easier to have that kind of extra attention and take them from doing like a good workout to having a great workout.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's important. And, you know, fair to say, like, there are different types of venues that trainers can work at. I mean, you have the big box club, which is basically your Gold's Gym, 24-hour fitness, LA Fitness, concept, Equinox. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the price point. A big box is a big box. It's a 20, 30,000 square foot club where the equipment just sits on the floor, doesn't move. People basically rent equipment and they rent the time to use it. And then you have your like kind of like Anytime Fitness, which is it's not quite a big box. They've kind of scaled down their operations. It's more on the 10,000 square foot. They do have smaller clubs, but like a 10,000 square foot club. And then you have like boutique fitness concepts where you have the different kinds of genres of training that you can do, like bar, and you have the MyStride with the treadmills and, you know, like, so this is a bunch of different kind of modalities that people kind of can adopt. And oftentimes I think that trainers make their mind up early on about what setting appeals to them the best. And they kind of like go towards that. And obviously you've navigated to more of the, you know, small group personal training and, you know, medium size training class route. Quick trivia question. What is my biggest boot camp? So I used to run boot camps outside. How many people do you think? This is just a pure guess. My biggest boot camp. How many people did I train at one time by myself?
I don't know, like 30.
My biggest boot camp was 41 people.
Wow.
Don't ask me how I did it.
People under control.
I didn't. It was a zoo. I had like dogs peeing on my equipment bag. I had people running all over the place. I had to threaten dog owners with imprisonment and fines, like while simultaneously trying to check squat jump form and all that other stuff. So it was, that was a long time ago, but it was a scene, man. It was like a scene from a Quentin Tarantino movie almost. So what made you join Meld? Like what made you say, you know what, Meld is it? And I know obviously part of the story, I was there for it. And, but I love hearing you tell it because I kind of disrupted your world a little bit when I came in.
I feel like you caught me at like a good transition point. Mm-hmm. So initially, like I was working at a different type of fitness club that wasn't really my speed. It wasn't really my style. So it's kind of like on the lookout for other stuff. And I had seen like this job for Mel posted and just like started, you know, going back and forth with you. And basically from like the first minute that we hopped on a Zoom call interview, I could just tell that you were someone that like I would absolutely love to work for. So even like gym aside, I feel like it was initially like more that I could see you were someone that like embodied a lot of the things that I respect and wanted to learn from about the fitness industry. And then you started talking about Meld and what you guys had going on over there. And I just knew that's something that I wanted to be a part of, like the way that you talked about it and kind of the foundation that was already there. I felt like it would be a really perfect setting for me and my personality. I love doing like the big group stuff, but also the fact that you were like, you know, it's max going to be you and four other people in the Boston studio. Like that's perfect for me to be able to work the way that I work best. So all of that and the way you spoke about the members and the way you kind of talked about all their personalities, you could tell that the studio had like a lot of character and just a lot of great people coming in. So it's just kind of feels lucky to be able to join something like that. So
it was kismet, man. It was kismet. You know, so you came in the first time we met personally at the studio, you came in, we talked for about the business piece for like a half an hour. And then we talked for like an hour after we talked about that piece. We were there for like an hour and a half, and it was, everything else was about everything else but the studio the first time. Mm-hmm. And so when I heard you during the interview, I was like, yeah, this is a person that I'd like to work for me. And so was everything true though, that I said, like the people, the sessions, the atmosphere, the culture?
Yeah, 100%. Like you don't, I mean, I trusted you from like the first couple of minutes that I started talking to you, because you can just tell someone that's an honest, genuine person, but you didn't really have to sell the place. You were just talking about the way that it is. So you weren't like hyping up all these things that weren't true. You were just stating the facts, really. You know, everything you said about the people was accurate. Everyone's just so nice, happy to be there, so easy to work with. Everything you said about the studio itself, the way that things work, the programming, all of it, just kind of, it was all what I expected. So that made the transition even easier when you kind of set those expectations accurately, and then it's easier to come in to a setting like that.
You know, I used to have the biggest issue with going to work at places, and the expectation of what the job is different than how it was laid out. And I said to myself, if I ever become a boss, like, that I'm going to fix. You know, I couldn't stand going into a job, and then literally it's like a week later, you're like, okay, this is not what I thought I was signing up for. And, you know, so consistency in that way is like really important to me.
Yeah. Cause it's hard. It's hard to transition between things, especially in the fitness industry, because you want to kind of settle in and find your place and be secure there for as long as you can. So having to uproot everything you're doing, move around, is just takes a toll on you. So it's nice to, and refreshing to come into a place where I could tell, like, I could settle down and put some roots down and not have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So take us through like a day in the life of what it's like to operate the studio. So you had a unique opportunity when I went away for a couple of weeks. And when I go away in general, I'm like, Gabby, what is it like to operate a studio? Like a day in the life.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, for what it's worth, like being in different fitness settings, Meld is one of the easier places to come into and just kind of like, you know, have a day in the life. So it's basically like coming in, open up the studio. You know, our spot in the north end is our nice cozy Boston spot. So nothing crazy going on in there. Just everything's always nice and organized, nice and neat the way that me and Emily leave it. So
there's craziness around the studio maybe, but not inside the studio. It's like a
haven. Studio, maybe, but we're like an oasis for the north end.
That's right.
Exactly. Come in and rely on that atmosphere. But yeah, just come in. I like to write the workout out on the board. Depending on who's coming, I'll put their modifications up there, kind of lay out the timeline of everything we're going to do, figure out how things are going to fit, look at who's coming in, which is always good to see so that you know, like how people are going to match up if there's a couple people, or you know, where to put everyone and how we're going to work with the equipment. And then just start blasting the music and let them come. It's a pretty simple setup.
Yeah. And the schedule can be so fluid. Like you could be going into a session and the next thing you know, more people are in the session or less people in the session because people are kind of coming in and out like all the time. But you know, that kind of flexibility is something that is really attractive, I think, to the members who are coming. And the fact that you're already there on shift. So like, it doesn't really, it's not like it's like going to be crushing you if someone leaves or someone comes. But although one time before COVID, we had 5 people in the session in the studio. And so that was an interesting experiment because our studio in the North End is, which is our corporate location, is not the prototype size of a Meld studio that's going to be in the franchise system, like 1,000 square feet. So it was a little interesting on that session, but like it all kind of worked out. I have video of it. When I find it, I'll show it to you. But it was like a campfire, like an old Native American campfire, and everyone's like kind of going around the like in a circle. So it was actually pretty fun. But everyone had a good time. Everyone got their butt kicked, you know. So tell me about what do you like most about like the job at Meld? Like, is it I don't want to lead you in any way. So just tell me, what do you think? What do you like most about the job at Meld?
I would say kind of like what we were talking about earlier. The thing I like most is the kind of the intimacy of the setting. So the fact that I'll have anywhere from one to right now three people, it's either basically like they're getting a one-on-one session with me or they're getting a small group setting. But it's also because of the people and who they are, what they bring into the studio is just like what makes it unique. So, you know, a couple of the people that we have been going there for years, multiple years now. So they kind of, they've ingrained like their personalities into the studio, which is something that I love. Like, I think it's really important for people in, you know, every aspect, but especially in your fitness life, that's supposed to be fun too.
Yeah.
So I like that they come in, they bring their personalities. We have everyone under the sun, like all different ends of the spectrum of people.
Yep.
So there's no, like, there's never a dull moment there. I could have, you know, three crazy young professionals in the 5 o'clock session, and then, you know, it's a slower paced 6 o'clock with someone who's just kind of coming off a long work day and wants to just chill out with me and get a good workout. So it's, there's just never a dull moment. You see all the different great types of people, and that's what keeps it really fresh and kind of keeps my job interesting and, you know, fun for me too.
I saw the message board today when I walk in. So just so you know, like in every mill, there's a message board there where we encourage our members to kind of write messages on there, and they are hysterical. And I forgot to write, I rushed out of there so quickly because traffic was bad, but I was going to write my message. So whenever I pop down to the studio, which is once every, how long would you say, Gabby? Every,
I don't even know when you're there. You're sending out. I don't know, every couple weeks.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months. I was going on my biggest streak. I think I'm at like just over 2 months, two months in a week. But
it runs itself.
Yeah, it does. And so like I was trying to like write something on the board today, in my own sarcastic way, but then I forget. But like, you know, I think that's the piece that kind of gives us the stickiness, right? Which is that it's this community of a whole bunch of different people with one goal. And we kind of just encourage their one goal for them to be themselves while achieving that one goal. And I think that's that really is it's one of the special sauces that we have. But another special sauce that we have, I think that we do probably better than most, is accountability. So I want to just hear you talk a little bit about our accountability program, because you pretty much kind of lead that program at the studio. And but for the people listening, and who are maybe thinking about MELD, can you kind of walk us through our accountability program?
Yeah, so it's basically like when you come in, we want to know what your goals are. We want to know more about you. We want to know who you are so that we can better help you achieve that. You know, it's not just you coming in every day and getting a workout. Like there's a purpose to it if you want there to be. So a big part of that is checking in with everyone after the workout the next day. You know, how are you feeling? Is anything sore? Is there anything you need stretches for? Like overall, how's your week going, etc. And I think that just helps people remember like that we're there. Mm-hmm. We're not just there when we're at the studio. It's we're there for you outside of that as well when you need it, just to kind of keep you thinking about the gym and thinking about working on your fitness, because it's easy for that to fall to the wayside when you have a full-time job, family, whatever else going on. So I think those like reminders just help keep people in the right mindset and consistent with everything. And then obviously as like the relationships evolve, it just turns into kind of like, you know, us sending each other funny gifts or something. Because most of the time now, like the people I've been seeing for over 6 months, I know how they're doing the day to day. So it's just us kind of.
Yeah, the GIFs are what make life.
Whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. I talk about the assessment program, which is part of the accountability program, and why you think that that works well.
Yeah, so the assessment part of it is basically just us taking a couple different measurements. So basically body weight and body fat percentage is what we're working with right now. So we use the BIA electrical impedance to get that body fat percentage. And then we record that. So beginning of every month, so for example, this week, the people that I see will get their assessment, we'll take their weight, we'll take their body fat percentage. If they're interested in tape measurements, I'll do that for them. And I record that in a chart that everyone has their own personal chart. And so you get to see week or month to month progress of what's happening with your body. So changes in weight, changes in body fat and lean muscle percentage, it's all recorded. And every month you get an email from me with that data, as well as just like general notes from the past month. So if I know that someone got a big, you know, back squat PR, I'm going to put that in and say, hey, did you realize, like, you know, last month we were squatting 100 pounds and this month you squatted 125. You did a great job. You're getting stronger, et cetera. Or for example, I know there's a client I'm seeing right now that when he first came in, push-ups were something we were working on, just straight body weight push-ups, good form. And now I have him doing push-ups with plates on his back because regular push-ups are too easy. So stuff like that, where kind of they might forget about it through the day-to-day. They might not see that they're making these accomplishments, they're making these strides, but I like to point that out for them and kind of give them that chance to give themselves a pat on the back and be like, yeah, I'm doing a good job. And it kind of helps stay motivated to keep coming back.
Yeah. If you were to talk about, if you were to create your own formula, you see our average member average stays about 18 months along. That's a long time in the fitness industry. It is not like that in other places. Why would you say that our members stay so long? Like they commit for like the long haul. If you were to like do your own analysis of it.
I think from what I can see, what keeps people coming back is the kind of just the character of the studio. So whether that's the trainers that we have, even though that's changing at times, the environment and the programming and the day-to-day of what you're going to get, what you're going to see, it stays consistent. So they know on any given day they're going to come in and get a quality workout, and it's going to be something different than the day before also, or the last workout they did. So there's always that variety. There's always that kind of guarantee that they know they're going to come in and work hard and accomplish something. And I think always feel better leaving the studio than when they come in. That's always kind of my goal that I talk to them about, is want you to leave feeling better than when you came in. So even though you might be tired, it might have been hard, you might have been like, I didn't want to do this, when you leave, I want them to have that feeling of satisfaction, like, wow, I actually achieved something. Like, I can't think of the word, tangible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You're not a linguist.
Clearly didn't go to school for English.
It's all right. It's all good. As long as you know what you're trying to say, and people know what you're trying to say too. That's all that matters. No, but I think you're right. I think it's like really literally the combination of all those factors, right? It's you guys, it's the program, it's the accountability, it's the community, and it's the assessments. It's all of it. It's like you can't remove one piece, you know, and think that no one piece is above the other. And I think that, you know, mixing all those things, it's like the perfect combination of what I would say is what most people are looking at when they're looking at a fitness concept to join as a member, right? Like it's a different workout, to your point. Like it's the personality, it's a cult of personality. We have member events, we do stuff together. Like there's all this stuff mixed together that it's like, why would they want something else? It's the family they've always wanted.
Exactly. It all adds up and it's the perfect equation.
So I wrote here on the list of questions I was going to ask you, is there any tea that you want to spill behind the scenes on me that people don't often get to hear about because I don't talk about it, and I hide it. Any ridiculous idiosyncrasies or things that you want to publicly air, which is fine. Don't worry, I'm used to it. That people would be either laugh or shake their head about me that they don't know already. Am I insane? I'm asking.
No, absolutely not. You have to be a little bit at least to do what we do, I think. But I think, I don't know if everyone knows like how big of a jokester that you are. Like, obviously it comes off in your personality, but you're also very, you know, professional and well-spoken at times. But also like behind the scenes of that is you sending us like YouTube videos that you think are hilarious or like GIFs or something. Like, I don't know what some bizarre things that you texted to us, but that are just so funny. And I just think, I think it's like a silly side to you that is hilarious, but you share it with everyone. Like, I know I've gone into the studio and been working out with some of the members and been like, oh, Micah sent me this like funny video, look at this. And they're like, oh, I know, he sent it to me too. Like, you're just looking out for everyone, trying to make sure everyone's having a good time, getting a good laugh. So I feel like that's a big part of like the character of everything, what we are kind of right. talking about is it's not this serious like business transaction, especially in fitness. You have the opportunity to have like real relationships with people and actually, you know, build friendships. So
the skinny like jeans dog was that. Pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. You can't beat that.
You can't beat that. Yeah, you can't. I come across these videos. I don't know. You're right. I come across these videos. I'm like, I got to share this with Gabby and with Emily. And I can't be the only one seeing these things. You know, it's so important. They never send it back. I don't know. They're scared. They've never come across one GIF that they've seen or GIF, whatever you call it. I never get them back, but I send them. I send them pretty furiously when I find them and pretty quickly. But I'll
try and find something funny this week to send you.
Yeah, well, exactly.
If I come across anything.
Well, then we also had, I know that, you know, we had an awesome staff dinner down in the North End. That was awesome Italian food. So that was great. Mm-hmm. So look, you know, it's not every day that I interview someone that's in my sphere, in my world, that I see on a regular basis. And, you know, oftentimes I get people ask me like, well, we'd love to hear from an employee or someone that, that you deal with so we can know what it's like to operate a meld and, or like what it's like to interact with one. And so now you're here. Now you can tell the inside true Hollywood story. Remember that show? I don't even think it comes on anymore, but here's the inside scoop. So if you were like kind of talking to an individual who was like looking to maybe like franchise a meld or something like that, like what are some of the reasons, your top reasons that you think it's a good business model compared to some of the other places that you've experienced?
Biggest thing would probably be the consistency behind it. Like, you kind of have figured out what works in this like niche environment, and then just ran away with it. Mm-hmm. So the consistency of building a program that has goals set in mind for the people so that they don't have to kind of fish for their own personal goals if that's not something that they're interested in, but it also leaves room for them to pursue personal goals. So the consistency there is a big thing. And then just overall, like you're talking about the community and the atmosphere. So no matter where you put the gym that we have, I feel like regardless of the location, it would draw the type of people that fit into that environment. So people that are kind of like looking to put down those roots and really build what we call like our fitness family, I think is awesome. And kind of being able to create a place where people can do that, I think is really hard, especially in this industry. And like we talked about big box gyms, you're not going to get that there. What you're going to get with a small, like, community studio like Meld is that feel of family. So I think that's one of the main reasons that people should probably kind of consider us a standout, and if it's the right fit, pursue that on their own.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, honestly, businesses are looking for, you know, I was always jealous of around, right around the corner, we have one of like this, the more famous like pizza establishments from the studio. And there's always a line, winter, fall, dead heat of summer, freezing cold, always a line out the door and down the street. And I said to myself one day, I'm like, they have such loyalty. Like, so customers are people who patronize your business and do so on a repeated basis. Fans are people who who buy and continue to purchase and like sing your praises because they interact, how they interact with it. And I feel like you talked about, you know, our fitness family, like building a fan base of people who want to patronize because they personally and individually are like kind of linked with it. Like they have, it's almost like they have ownership of it because of how they interact with it. To me, that's important. And so many businesses out there, they see customers' complaints as customers being difficult. But I think if you were to reshape your mind around this whole thought process and see it as customers who are actually believe in what you do and they're tied to it, so they want it to be better, like those suggestions are suggestions to make their experience better and other people's experience better. And not necessarily because, oh, I'm just complaining to complain today. Like, it's no, like I love interacting with this and doing this. I'd be a customer for, and you see it in reviews sometimes, I would be a customer for so much longer if it wasn't for this, right? Like we've been talking about this and this didn't happen, you know? And so to me, that is really, that's kind of how I see like the customer base with Mel. They are fans of what we do just as much as they are customers and people who pay. And it's like, they don't even think about the payment. Not that it's not money, but they don't think about it because it's something that's enjoyable. It's actually a part of their life that actually, that adds to it. It doesn't take away.
Right. Yeah. I think that's something unique too. It's hard to find that where people feel like it's something that really brings them more value than what they're paying for. I think a lot of people that we see would say that.
That's right. So where does Gabby go from here? Well, I have plans for Gabby and Gabby has plans for herself, but Gabby has to make her own decision about what she wants to do. But like, you know, Gabby has been with us for over 6 months and hopefully that turns into a lot longer than that. But I have a lot of plans for the future for Gabby and I've run them by her and she's swatted them each with a fly swatter for now. I'll continue to drive towards Gabby to growing with the Meld brand as far as possible. But Gabby, it has been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And I'm glad that you could expose my skinny jeans dog GIFs to the world and talk a little bit about Meld and your experience. So I guess I'll ask that. So this is like, I guess the last piece is why as a coach, have you stuck with Meld so long? And then why is it something that you don't feel like you need to move on from so quickly? Why, what makes you stick? Where's the stickiness as an employee?
I feel like, again, it comes back to like the community that we have. I love the people that I see. They make it feel like it's not work. It's more like me doing what I love, which is what work should be. But as you know, right, it's not always like that. So they kind of, everything that goes into each session just helps remind me every day why I do what I do and why I'm there. So I think having the chance to really enjoy the experience and, you know, get that variety of every day being different people, different workouts, different, you know, stuff going on around the studio, that just helps almost kind of make it feel like time flies by faster than it really does. So yeah. It doesn't feel like I've worked there for over 6 months now, honestly, which is crazy.
Yeah, you have. I know. I was looking at that the other day. I was like, wow, this is significant. But you have. Yeah, no, it's great. So, I mean, look, it's I believe that we have a really strong team and I think that we have a really strong community and we have high praise around, you know, around the group. And I think everyone does a great job. I'm really proud of you all and the work that you've put in. You all have been awesome. Excellent. You've contributed to Meld in a big way. Essentially I tasked you with creating like the latest versions of the assessment stuff that we're using now. And that was a pretty big job, you know, and it's something that we're going to use for the franchise. And it's because of you. And I think it's an important way to actually continue to operate, right? Like, I think that, you know, you have something that works, you have to give people things that work. And I just appreciate you and your time and Emily, of course, who's not here today. But maybe you all will meet her in the future, but thank you for your time today. I appreciate you coming on the podcast and espousing some local wisdom with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
No problem. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Common Sense Show, hosted by Micah Logan. The producer for The Common Sense Show is Paul Logan. To reach out to Micah and The Common Sense Show, talk to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search The Common Sense Show. And if you enjoy the show, please don't forget to rate and or review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening.